not the child of divorce, so I can't relate to this, but what I've heard is that, yeah, all of it sucks, except, you know, double Christmas. Double birthday.
Now, that sucks, too. I just want to tell you right now that as a child of divorce, that sucks, too.
Okay.
There's nothing fun about doing five-hour drives between places on Christmas Eve to try to get to the next spot in the darkness and in the cold. And
all
then
right.
Rolling into the next place basically exhausted from the Christmas before. There's nothing fun about that.
Well, Colby Armstrong is not...
Maybe if you're a little kid and you got lots of presents and your parents competed for your love that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Colby Armstrong hasn't divorced this country yet. But yeah, yeah, they're seeing other people. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. He's
raising
kind of in a...
American
he's in an
kids.
Open...
That seems
an open patriotic relationship. So he gets the double dip in Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to you, Colby.
Thanks, boys. Good to hear you guys. Yeah, it's a great day today. We threw the turkey in already. We're getting ready to go. Getting some of the sides organized is the main focus now that the turkey's in.
Yeah, your phone sucks, Colby. We're going to call you back.
Your phone sucks. We're calling you back. We're calling you back.
Okay.
You called us from the robot.
The scream from Colby as we potted it down. By the way, it just reminded me of something. And I hope I'm not doing reruns on this one either. But the greatest movie scream of all time is what? Do you have one? Because I have one loaded in the chamber.
No, I don't have one off the top of my head. Sorry.
Okay, it's obviously Daniel Stern. It's Daniel Stern with the tarantula on his face in Home Alone. Like, there is no better scream.
That's a good one.
In the history of American cinema. Than Daniel Stern's scream. It is,
I like that
honestly,
you left out, you know, Russian cinema, German cinema.
No,
you know,
I can't speak to that. That's the thing. My understanding of the oeuvre is not as extensive as North American cinema. But there is nothing like Daniel Stern's scream. It's honestly my highlight of watching that movie, because I just watched it again recently with my 5-year-old. And he
really?
As well
you didn't
was...
Wait the next, like, 2 weeks to get to it? Because that's the time.
Guess what? Probably going to watch it again.
Yeah, okay. How do you feel about Home Alone 2?
I feel very badly about anything after Home Alone 1. And my wife is like, here's the thing, it got better. No, it didn't. Yeah. No, it's like, it's a stupid premise, and there's so many plot holes in Home Alone 1, but you overlook it because it's just, it's supposed to be cartoony and yada, yada, yada. It's just great. But once you go, you lost the kid again. Like, come on. No, we're done.
So number two should have just been you're watching the movie and then it's Kevin McAllister's in his house and he's like, oh, I can't believe I'm home alone again. And then it's just social services shows up and they're like, hey, ding dong. They're like, yeah, you got to come with us.
Yeah.
You got a new foster family now. I'm going to introduce you to. Hey, guess what? You're sleeping in bunk beds in a foster home for the rest of your life. So you're never going to be alone again. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
You thought Buzz was bad? Oh, boy. you're going to be praying for Buzz. You're going to get down on your hands and knees and pray for Buzz. Give him back to me. So, yeah, I agree. And it just confirms everything I know about your wife, which is like she married you. She's got horrible taste. So it is what it is.
Really
Colby Armstrong joins us again. He's back. He screamed. How's the phone? Are you still underwater?
Oh, I know. Like, God, it sucked. I was talking so well. And then obviously nothing was picked up. I was wearing my earbuds. Apparently, like, that can cause some confusion. Here I think I'm into the future with these damn things, and they're not working. So, yeah, Thanksgiving, boys. Got the turkey in. Got up this morning. Slammed it in the oven. Got it all coated up, seasoning, all the whole thing. Got it in there. Now it just comes down to sides, which is make or break, right? The sides, make or break. So, yeah, big day today. Big day today.
I'm all about just – listen, I like all the sides. Everything's cool. I eat everything. But to me, it all comes down to, like, what is the mashed potato situation? Because if you crush the mashed potatoes, then everything else is just fine. And I know that's, like, my half-Irish blood coming through maybe, but I really do feel like if you got A1 mashed potatoes, you just can't – you can't go wrong. They just tie everything together.
And you can mix everything with them, right? Like, you can, like, I don't know what kind of plate filler you are, but if you're, like, a separator guy, you know, and you're a one-at-a-time guy, I'm a mixed guy.
It's the same, Same as in my guts. Like, it's just, it's the same thing. You can't tell. Everything's on everything, and it's just, it's sloppy, and I almost feel bad that people prepare different things, because I'm like, I'm basically making a lasagna, a Thanksgiving lasagna. Yeah, where I just, it's a layer. It's layers, you know? I'm like, ooh, macaroni and cheese. I get to that, like, 5 minutes into the eating.
Yeah, you got, like, half of macaroni and cheese, half of your other part of your fork is mashed potatoes. And then you got like a little bit of like those yams on there too. You got like a trifecta of just, you know, I remember like when you're in like a buffet line, remember those good old days when you could go to a buffet? Like those are going to be back, but whatever. And it's like you just stack everything. You just layer it. You just stack it up there. It's like not all you can eat. It's all you can carry, man. And you get that thing just pumping to the top. Like it's heaping and you've got like layers of stuff. Like you said, JD, a lasagna, Thanksgiving lasagna. Great call on that.
I kind of feel like that's a not a basic move, but like an ill-advised move at the buffet, because I feel like I'm doing more work, like I'm getting my money's worth if I just go back a lot. Like if you do one plate, if you do two plates or one and a half plates.
I'm not eating tons of food and adding more walking to the equation. Buffet is all about stack the plate, stack the plate, stack the plate, stack the plate.
I couldn't disagree and then, more.
Because I don't like the shame of being up there, because I'm already stacking the plate in a horrific way anyways, right? Like I love Chinese buffet. Like Chinese buffet to me is the peak buffet. Right? Yep. It's the peak of the peak. And when I'm there, I'm shameless. Like, if it's the last egg roll, you better believe that daddy's snatching it up. Like, I don't care who's next. I don't care if there's a little old lady there. It's like, I'm getting that egg roll. I want it, and I'm having it. And I don't care if there's a fresh batch of brewing, if this one's sitting here for 20 minutes. I want this sucker. So I'm piling the plate. I don't want to go up there and be like, do I want a little bit of chow mein and just like a little touch of fried rice? It's like, no, man. I'm layering it in a disgusting way as much as possible. And then that's my one trip of shame. You know, maybe there's a second one to go up and check out the Jell-O situation, but I want there to be minimal trips of shame to the food trough, essentially.
Yeah, like, and I learned something cool, like from weddings, like, you know, good old Saskatchewan weddings. You go, obviously, like most of them buffet style. You get the roll at the start, right? You put the roll in your hand and tuck it under your plate as the gripper so it doesn't take up any room on your plate. Like, you've got to have some move. And I feel so bad when I see people at these epic, and they come back with, like, three green beans, like a little chunk of salad, and, like, half a medallion thing of, like, the roast beef they carve off. Losers. It's like, come on!
Losers. What are you
hammering
doing here?
Yeah. No, don't waste your time with salad. Like, what are we doing with the salad? The salad is a tell. For sure, it's a tell.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, yeah, you can come back for salad. You can get the salad later. You know where I learned that move? Actually, our buddy Sam McKee is producing the show today. Last year, again, man, things that you miss, but they have this huge fish fry in Owen Sound, and he took me down. And it's in a huge tent, right? It's this big fish competition. Then they fry up all the fish. They have a huge fish fry. And you get up to the front, and all the people are just beauties, right? They're from this small town. They've done this a million times, the volunteers. And, you know, I have the bun, and they're like, yo, put the bun here. Don't put the bun on your plate. You got to make sure you got as much room for the fish. They're just giving you all the tips in the line, and they can basically tell that you're from out of town. Like, you stick out like a sore thumb. I'm wearing plaid and jeans, and, like, you know, there's nothing that should say that I'm not from here other than my bun holding position, and everyone's like, oh, you big city guy with your bun on your plate, get out of here, you scamp. And so it's a bit immediately, right, like you said, under the plate, bun under the plate is a huge veteran maneuver. Like, that's a
watch all your actually, listeners free tips for sure right there. That's
free
a
Thanksgiving
huge
tips for the Thanksgiving that we're not getting right now. So you're everyone's just like, yeah, great, we gotta still wait a full year for our Thanksgiving now. That's what we're doing. Enjoy yours, bud. So
hey, that's a good thing about marrying an American, though, guys. I get like both. We do the Canadian, but we also, just for the sake of it, we do the American as well. Obviously,
I'm married to an American too, and I've done this before. We're not doing it this year, but yeah, I've double dipped. It's kind of fraudulent when I live here, though, I feel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can definitely do it without any guilt. Okay,
he's
thank
saying
you.
I do it with no guilt. One down there.
No, I know, but he is Canadian. I'm not American. But, yeah, either way. You know what she does? Oh, my mother-in-law, great cook, does it up big for these holidays and Thanksgiving, is cornbread stuffing. There is nothing like that.
Oh, I've never heard of this.
No, yeah, dude. Either. Yeah, you just instead of, well, I mean, it's pretty obvious what it is. Just instead of bread, it's cornbread, and it's, well, yeah, I don't normally like sweets. Like, I don't like, I'm not a cranberry sauce guy, and I'm not the candied yams guy, but like that amount of sweetness in the stuffing, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotta try this because, you know what, that might sweeten the day even more because I'm kind of upset, right? Like, the Steelers were supposed to play Baltimore today, and obviously COVID reared its head on the Ravens, and like they pushed the game to Sunday, and that was going to be, you know, that was going to be like the cherry on top here living in Pittsburgh. Steelers are just rolling, and then they bumped the game from Thanksgiving to Sunday, which absolutely threw me for a loop. I don't even know what to do today.
Nap. You just go for a nap.
That's, look at your kids.
Some beers. And nap, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're like, I don't know what to do today. You guys got a ton of kids. You're basically cheaper by the dozen family down there.
Kids like, with, like, diapers overflowing. It's like, I don't know. I got nothing to do.
Yeah, wife's just cleaning the kitchen. The kids are just like, Mom, Mom, Mom.
Oh,
he's just like,
so bored.
I'm on my third plate, just barreling. Barrel is just...
Boring.
How many kids are you up to now, Cole?
Four. We got four, but yeah, and we're getting like we've been doing the homeschooling thing pretty much the entire time, with the exception of a few weeks. So,
and that's it. And then your wife and the others.
Exactly.
You got a little whistle you carry around the house.
Yeah.
You wear high shorts. You're just like, let's do it. Growing a little mustache,
high socks,
get a little duster
tucked in.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, just straight up in energy and intensity the entire time. Just getting them fired up. Yeah. That's what we do. Yeah. Duck, that's duck, awesome. Goose gets going crazy in our house at gym time.
Yeah. Gym time. Let's do it. Let's go. Hey, so yeah, man, you are in the new house. You're doing American Thanksgiving. It sounds like you're basically, so what, you get in charge of the turkey and then not the sides, or are you a chef? Because we've never talked about this before.
Yeah, no, I'm not really a great chef. Like, I have a few go-tos, but like, I'm mostly a barbecue guy. Like, I really like hammering the barbecue. So I bet you know what, you guys ever heard of one of those green eggs? You know the green eggs?
Yes, of course.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Like, do you follow Graham Dillette on social media, on Twitter?
I do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good. He's a buddy of mine from back in Saskatchewan, but, like, he is the king of cooking on the green egg. And so I get, like, all these things from him, and I send him a message. I'm like, how did you do that brisket? I'm going to try that. So I kind of like getting on the green egg, and you know, you can smoke or cook anything on there. It's just, like, it's unbelievable what you could do. So I'm getting into that. I got into that during, like, when we were really locked down for a while. Because I had nothing else to do, and I was like thinking that was cool. But on the stove or in the kitchen, I'm not that great, boys. I am not.
Yeah. No, me neither. I'm a barbecue guy like yourself, and I love meat. And,
wait till
you know,
I send you the picture of that cornbread stuffing I'm going to pound out next week. Let's go.
Absolutely do that. Absolutely.
Unreal.
But yeah,
send me that recipe.
Yeah, brisket. I love me some brisket. I love when people smoke meat for me. I just have a propane barbecue. My wife's birthday is coming up next week, and I was thinking of ideas, and I know she's not listening now, so it's not a big deal, but I was seriously contemplating getting her, maybe not the green egg, but like a smoker, and she doesn't have to use it. What do you think about that as a birthday gift? Like, I give her something that I'm going to use, but she's going to eat the product that comes out of it.
I'll she'll be happy because the product will be good, but then you'll be happy because you swindled her into a gift for yourself, which is a good move.
No, man. Is that not? The guy who already bought his wife a Nintendo one year was like, hey,
oh, it's for Mother's Day.
For Mother's Day. Yeah, no. I think she's seen this before. You're just really opening her up. Here's the thing, dude. This is the risk you're running. The first guy that shows her any kindness, like someone's going to be in a grocery store line with her one day and she's going to be like, oh, I don't know where, I thought I had some change. And he's going to be like, don't worry, I got it. It'll be something for $5. She's going to be like, oh my God, no one's ever done anything like this for me. And she's going to leave you for the guy in the grocery store line. Like, that's how it's going to go down.
You mean this is all mine? Not just for him?
Listen, she loves brisket. She's going to really enjoy the brisket that I'm going to sit outside smoking for 12 hours drinking beers. But I got to watch it. Yeah. You got to watch that meat.
Sounds like you got it all figured out. You got it all figured out, buddy. Way to go. That's a great plan that you got there for yourself. So,
thank you.
Hey, man, we got to get your thoughts on this because Ben and I were talking about it yesterday. It kind of came down. Did you see the story from Larry Brooks about the NHL season?
I'm not sure if I did, no.
Okay, so this is the gist. He reported yesterday that it's starting to get pretty ugly here, and that the date that they were hoping for, that January 1st puck drop in that 60-game season, like, it's on the hot seat big time, and we're looking more at a 48-game season, and then back in the news cycle about hearing about escrow and this and revenue sharing and all the stuff that nobody wants to hear about right now, and 48 games, man. Like,
We did that. When was that? 2013?
Yes.
What, how many games did we play? I mean, we got it.
I think it was 48.
We started playing on like January 20th, I think, or 19th. Yeah.
And so, I think they're using that as a template.
Yeah, so I think it's doable. And the season wasn't horrible. It made it like a fun sprint playing in that. I remember our team was awesome. When I was playing in Montreal, our team was awesome. And then we ended up playing Ottawa in the first round and lost to them. But it made for like a fun, just as a player, coming back to playing, kind of rushing back to playing, which we kind of did, and shortened camps and everything, which was awesome. I think every guy loved that. But, and then once you started the season, it was like, it was literally a sprint to the playoffs. So it made the season as players like pretty fun, just because of the pace at which, and you know, what every game meant, just more so than it felt than usual. So, yeah, I know they're running out of time. I know that, you know, no one likes hearing it, especially right now, all this talk about escrow and money and shared revenue and everything. But if they can get it off and we have a shortened season, the 15th, the 19th, 20th, you know, I think most people would take that. I think, right? Like sports, like hockey fans, like, I'd take that.
You take it. I have two major concerns. One is that we're entering the holidays. This isn't the summer where it was with baseball, and it kind of felt like a bit of a smaller story because these guys were fighting, and it was just, things were starting to open up a little bit. And you were able to get outside, and you're like, "Yeah, who needs baseball? I'm going outside. I'm going for a swim. I'm going out with friends. I'm hitting up a patio." Now that it's winter time, and I really do feel like January 1st is a day that the NHL should really try and own, and that they have a unique opportunity here to kind of get that done, that this is really going to piss people off, that this is really going to rub people the wrong way. Like, you can't go see your family over Christmas in the same way. You can't travel. You're stuck indoors. You want something to watch. And yeah, you're going to have people, I don't think necessarily a lot of people just walking away from the game, but it's the same thing with baseball, which is, you end up having something where you turn people against your stars. You end up having something where fans end up turning against the players and not relating to them. And it just takes one or two bad quotes from the guys, right? Like, it just takes one guy on the Panthers to say, you know, this isn't fair and I got to feed my family. And it's like, okay, we get what you're saying, but it just gets misinterpreted and it spirals out of control. And that's what I don't want for the league. I just think that they need to get back to playing because people have already changed viewing habits to a certain degree. Like, think about how much more Netflix you've watched and the different types of shows and movies. Man, you and I have texted before. Like, we've talked about, you know, you've asked me for stand-up comics and, you know, we've traded back and forth about podcasts and you showed me Mark Rebier. You know, like, we're just adding more and more content to the plate all the time. And I don't know what hockey's place in that is if they just keep kicking the can down the road and assume that everybody's going to come back.
Yeah, and I think viewership on TV in general is down with like all the sports that came back through this. So, yeah. I think you have a good point in getting it done. I mean, how long will they be mad for? Will it be two more weeks until, you know, the 15th kicks off and then they start and people are like, okay, finally hockey's back. Okay, I'll watch again. Because I know for me, like, I just sit around and wait till the weekend till virtually like, you know, Sunday. And you get football all day, and I'm just dying for Sunday every week to come because I'm like, that's like the day, you know? So with hockey, it's almost every day. You got games on. You can just flip back and forth. So I think it's kind of a unique beast that way. Won't basketball be going, though? You get basketball, JD.
But that's what I mean. But it's like basketball's going to be going. Football's going to be going. Conor McGregor fights in January. You're going to end up starting to get television shows ramped back up and have a little bit more content. I'm not trying to be doomsday about it. I just feel like hockey is already slipping a little bit in this country, that less and less people care about. Like, think about when we were younger, how big hockey felt in the country. And I know it's different times, but it doesn't have nearly the same thing. And I know I look at it through a Toronto lens now, too, where it's like I used to grow up in Western Canada, Northern Canada, where it's like hockey was basically the only thing. And now I live in a big metropolis where there's tons of different interests and tons of different sporting interests, and the Raptors just came off a championship. But, man, the amount of hockey conversations I have with friends is almost It's so much less than I used to. I still talk about the Leafs with people all the time. People here will always care about the Leafs. But hockey and the league at large, it being like the National Hockey League, that stuff feels gone. It doesn't feel that way anymore. Like, it feels like baseball where it's hyper-regional. And, you got a chance to have a Canadian division and get back out on the ice, and everybody's excited for a product in early January where all of a sudden you're on the couch, you're hungover. I brought this up. Like, you're hungover New Year's Day, and when you have that full slate of hockey games to throw on, it's awesome. You know, you get college bowl games and hockey, and it's a part of the schedule that it's like routine. And you don't want people losing the routine. You don't want people feeling like, oh, January 1st, that's not a hockey day. It's like, no, it's got to be a hockey day, boys. Like, you got to think long-term with this.
I feel like it's like the interaction is obviously hammered it, right? Like, we don't have we've lost a large chunk of just interaction with sports. They're in bubbles, they're, you know, no fans, and it's kind of like drained, I guess, the overall interest a little bit in just in sports in general. But as far as hockey goes, I mean, that kind of really snuck up on us. When was it, like a week and a half ago, when things started to kind of you know, when the NHL came back at the players with more of a, you know, a chunk to take out, and it's just kind of, I think, has most hockey fans just kind of like, what's going to happen, and fears of it dragging long enough where there is no hockey. So I know it's going to be, you know, big. I thought this week was huge for it. We, you know, possibly hear some answers as you talk about that timetable kind of ticking by here. But I think it's, if it doesn't get anything this week, like next, by the end of this week, like next week, like is massive, I think, for the NHL and for the players to get that done, to, you know, to have a date lined up here where they can say we're coming back.
Yeah, that seems to be the indication. I'm too simple to truly understand it, because I get it. They signed a CBA. They get to split the revenues 50-50. So you're getting your money either way. It's like now or later or whatever. Or the league holds it for a bit with the escrow, and then you get it back if revenue exceeded expectations. It seems like that should be a bridge that you can cross at some point, and we'll get a season. The other thing, too, is I'm with you, JD, and I think it's obvious that the attention span for hockey in this country, outside of the Canadian teams, isn't what it once was. But I was excited about this Canadian division, honestly.
So like I am.
I still am, too, right? But that's the thing. The 48-game season might make that – might not be the worst thing when you're only ever playing six other teams, right? Like, you just get in, thrown into this round robin with the six other Canadian teams as the only teams you're going to play. Do you really want 70 games where you're playing the Canucks 10 times or something?
60. But it's first of all, it's 60.
Yes.
And it's a difference of 12 games. I'm saying that it's not so much the schedule. Like, if they came back and they said, okay, we're like, I don't have a problem with 48. I'm not saying that, oh, dude, if they do 48 games, that's not enough. No, my issue is that when you drag this out and the reasons behind you getting 48 are all going to be purely financial and are not going to have the
Which
fans.
It always
anymore.
Is. It always
that's
is.
That's what I'm saying, though, is that at some point you got to think big picture, NHL. At some point you got to think, like, beyond just what the revenue is for this season. It's how you're going to cultivate it moving forward and how you're going to keep this sport as prominent as it is. And I'm just saying that coming back in late January, when you've got playoff football happening – and you've got that super fight, and you've got people distracted by a multitude of different things, is dumb. It's just a dumb strategy. Come back, and especially since you are going to have people's attention in the standpoint of they're going to be annoyed. It's just going to be players taking back shots they're going to be taking shots at owners. And owners are going to have something to say. And there's going to be these stupid little leaks that come out. And we're going to be trying to figure out all that math stuff that Ben is. And nobody wants to be doing math. That's why we all like sports. It's like, we're dummies. We just want to see boys go out there.
I'm a former math Olympian, and I don't want to do math. How about that?
Exactly.
Okay?
It's just,
I'll say, JD,
so...
very good point. Very good.
Bro.
I got to say, that's a fantastic point. Just from, like, you know, the hockey fan perspective, and, you know, thinking, you know, big picture, like you said, I just think that's, you know, obviously something that I have to think that they're thinking exactly like you are. But, you know, here we go. Business rears its head into the picture, and we are where we are right now.
You know what,
man? But great point.
Dude, you know what this actually makes me think is we live in an era now where customer service is just becoming more and more important. And everybody reviews everything, right? Whether it's from Yelp to your Amazon orders to every single thing you get, you review. You go like, this is what this is doing for me, and this is how they did it, and this is how they replied. And you end up shopping in places now more than I think you used to based on just like, hey, what place is good with returns? What place doesn't screw around? What place replaces stuff? Doesn't treat you like a bag of trash? And the NHL has bad customer service right now, dude. Like, that's just it. Is if you're doing the Yelp review about like how they put the fans first, I don't see it. Like, I don't see that happening. I just don't. Like, there's not a lot of give back from some of the players right now in terms of just opening up and giving fans more stuff away from the rink. Like, it's always still super secretive. Like, we have Budaj on later to talk a little bit about this McDavid-Matthews thing.
And it's like, what a great guy.
Dude, oh, really? Okay, sweet. That's good because I'm excited to talk to him.
Mississauga, right, isn't he?
But
so obviously he's a good
guy. Thought he was a foreign dude.
Like, yeah, he's Slovakian, but he played junior there.
He played for the majors.
I was like, this changes a lot of things. I was like, yeah. But anyways, it's just like I saw in Elliot's piece where he's like, hey, can I talk to you guys about this? And they're like, no, but we'll give you an email where we say, like, Connor McDavid is great at hockey. And Matthews is like – and then he's like, Austin Matthews is an incredible player. I'm like, good stuff, guys. Like, good stuff. No, like, way to make it fun. Way to make it fun for everybody, you nerds. Like, you just – like, it's just boring. Like, you won't show anything. Look at what's happening in the other sports, the way that guys interact with each other and the way that they interact with fans. And then when you talk about, like, the product itself, it's like, okay – I'm not a fan of the direction the product is going. Some people are. Like, I think it's trying to lean a little bit too much on skill and getting away from a lot of the reasons why you loved hockey. Like, there was an ad that wasn't run by us, that's all I can really say, where they basically showed, like, the toughness of hockey in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it got roasted by people because they're like, oh, the injuries and the concussions. It's like, oh, my God, this is what I mean. Like, you're just – it's gone so overboard and so over the top. And now you're going to add this. Now you're going to add labor dispute stuff. It's just like, enough, man. Enough is enough. Just get back out on the ice. Figure it up. Figure out a way to split the millions of dollars, guys. Like, that's it. And NHL. And I blame the owners more.
But that's already written.
It's like, I blame the owners more.
But this is it. This is what it feels like. This feels like a baseball redux, where the owners know that they're going to have the season. It's too expensive to play more games. They want to play fewer games without fans in the stands. They're going to wait this thing out so that they're forced to only play 48 games, and that's it. And then they save money because they don't have to play the extra 12, and it's a money-losing season anyways.
But who eats it? It's the fans. Over and over and over again, it's the fans. It's like, okay.
Just like they did in baseball,
players aren't going to get as much money, and so they end up losing out on some, and I feel for those guys for sure. But at the end of the day, it's like, you're still going to make pretty good coin. You're going to come out of that 48 games, and you're going to be doing okay financially as long as you're not completely stupid with your money. The fan is the person that ends up losing out. That's it. There's no person that comes out.
This is it. Like, the players want to play. The players want to play.
Yep.
Like, no doubt, the players just want to play. They just want to play. And so it's done. And just like Ben said, with the ploy here to, you know, put stuff back on the table and ask for more and drag it out.
It's greasy.
And, you know, it just you went into the trenches a bit with this down the stretch here, but. You know, there's no doubt in my mind and knowing players and talking to players that they just want to play, you know. Mm-hmm. They just want to play the game. So if fans can think anything about that these guys just want to go play the game they love, I think that's just kind of where they're at right now.
No, there'll be a deadline where it's like, after this date, we can't do a 60-game season. They'll go one day or a couple of days past that, and they're like, all right, you know what? We'll just do what we originally agreed to in the summer. We'll play the 48 games, and that'll be it.
Exactly.
There's no question.
Ben's on it. Ben's on it.
Well, because we saw this. Baseball did the same thing.
We know the handbook. Yeah, we know the handbook.
Yeah, the handbook. There it is. Yeah. There it is, boys.
Yeah. And that's just it. Is that here again? The problem gets to that is that I agree that this is a bigger problem when it comes to the owners. Obviously, like asking the players to come back and give more. And, yeah, you read everything and you go, well, none of this seems fair. And obviously they portray it with, we're all suffering losses and we all need to do it. It's like, yeah. But what it comes down to is when the season gets delayed, nobody knows who the owners are. Nobody knows who the owners look like. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what you know is what Sidney Crosby looks like. You know what Ovechkin looks like. And you associate all of the problems and all of the annoyances as a fan with those guys, right? And at the end of it, you just look like, oh, man, well, you guys are millionaires. Figure it out. go, if you really want to play, then go play. And it's like, man, it just sucks. It just sucks for everybody. I hate it. I hate it so much. I wish we weren't talking about it. Like, I don't want to talk about
it.
I want this week to be like, oh, there was a breakthrough, and they're going to play January 1st, and Bunk, you're going to be hungover on the couch.
And, you know, everything was going so smooth, right? Like, everything was smooth. Like, you know, like, everything was getting worked out. It was awesome. And then COVID comes, and it just, like, spins everything out of control, and here we are again. So, I mean, you know, but like you said, though, the players are the face of the game. Yeah, and you know, things will fall at their feet, you know, with some fans and getting this done. But, you know, ultimately, you know, something got thrown onto their plate when everything was already done. And, you know, here we are in this dispute again. So I think the handbook is what we need to look at for this situation right now that Ben laid out.
Yeah, that's happening.
We got to run, bud. I want to talk to you next time. We had a good chat about Joe Thornton the other day that I kind of want to share.
Oh yeah, I
thought you made some good points. But we'll do that. We'll do that some other time when we actually might, you know, feel good about when the hockey season's going to start. Like when we feel like
I'm going to send you guys a picture of the turkey. I'm going to send you guys a picture.
Yeah, great. No.
Yeah, just in the oven. Or wait, you're not deep frying it, right? No, you said
not deep. No. I would love to try the deep fryer though, but yeah.
You ever had smoked?
I think I've seen it on YouTube.
I've had smoked turkey is underrated too.
I never even thought of that. Get that on the green egg, boys. Here we go. Now we're talking
up a
next year.
Show. Like you guys be
a cooking
on the Food
podcast,
Network,
then.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, you guys got it.
We just talk about foods we like. It's like, do you know how to make that? It's like, no, I like it.
Yum, yum, yum.
All right, boys. Thanks for having me on. Happy American Thanksgiving. Yeah, thanks, boys. Talk to you.
Shout out to America. See ya. Colby Armstrong. Double dipping today with American Thanksgiving. Hitting up the green egg. People are starved for hockey content right now, and NHL players are kind of loath to give it up. So anytime we can get anything, jump on top of it. And Elliot Friedman with the story that there's an incredible scrimmage happening in Arizona. Shane Doan organizing a thing, and it's got Connor McDavid, and it's got Austin Matthews. Obviously, that was a big deal. And it's got our next guest, who is one of the goalies involved, Peter Budaj, former NHL goaltender, on the line right now, part of these scrimmages. Peter, thanks for doing this. Like, is this the most media request you're getting since, let's see, you played with the Habs in 2014. This seems like a big deal.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess this is the biggest deal right now, what's going on in hockey. I think that especially with the COVID and everything else, the season being starting in January, I think this is by far the biggest news that hockey has, because you know, those two best players in the world are skating together. So it's kind of exciting. So yes, definitely more media than I'm used to.
Yeah, and listen, man, we don't want to get you in trouble, and like, we're not going to ask you to divulge too much, but like, you know, you're around, you hear any conversations about like contracts or, you know, life in Toronto, real estate in Toronto, anything like that between those two guys?
I think we just don't even talk about it. I think we're just kind of enjoying our time on the ice, and that's it. I don't even think I would ever ask those questions, because like, those are kind of personal questions.
Yeah. No, really, not there, like,
dude, like, you guys are asking questions, you're never hearing like a really personal question. Like, we're more talking about, hey man, beautiful day today, let's just, you know, go play some hockey, and that's it. So
yeah, and then it goes, hey, you know where else is beautiful? Toronto is gorgeous. Lots of beautiful days in Toronto. More beautiful days in Toronto than Edmonton, I would say. You know, like,
that's I don't know what is the weather like in Toronto?
Gorgeous, man. It's like, it's nice. It's not Arizona weather. Let's not get crazy.
What is it, like 15 Fahrenheit, maybe like -5 Celsius?
All right, moving on from that then. So dude, how'd you get involved in this? Like, how did this all come about? Because, yeah, I got to imagine that it's fun and you're enjoying yourself and you're enjoying playing. But, yeah, facing those two guys every day, and there's got to come with some, oh, well, that sucked. They scored again. Oh, Austin Matthews rips one off my helmet. That sucks. That didn't feel so great.
You know, I don't take it like that. I think you guys are going to think that I'm just – blowing smoke up here. But no, I was actually just at the rink, and my son had a practice because he skates with the Junior Coyotes, and then I saw Shane Doan there. So, you know, I knew him a little bit before, so we just started talking, and, you know, I said we live here now and everything else and my family. And then he's like, well, you know, I have to skate, you know, if you ever want to come down, you know, and, you know, strap the pads on again, you know, you can come and skate with these, you know, great players. So I'm like, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that I missed the game, you know, I missed the being, you know, being involved, and I like playing a goalie too. I know that a lot of goalies when they retire don't like to play a goalie, but actually I do, you know, so it's kind of, you know, thank God my body's holding up. So it is fun, especially with those guys, you know, because as you said, you know, they can score at will. So it's pretty beautiful to watch them, you know, even though I'm supposed to stop them, they do score a lot. So.
Yeah, they do that in the competitive landscape of the NHL. So, yeah, not a surprise there. Like, what is actually taking place here, though, Peter? Because we've seen reports, and Elliot did some reporting, that these things are getting pretty competitive and that there's scores being kept and that everybody is kind of aware of which team is ahead at one point in time. Like, what is the competitive nature like of these games?
I don't know if the score is being kept. That's between me and you. I don't really know, because I think, it's just, I think nobody's keeping the score, or, hey, you beat us yesterday, we're going to beat us today. But when the puck is dropped, you know, you want to play hard, you know. You just, you're on the ice to get better. You're not there to mess around. You're not there to goof around and, you know, waste the time if you're not putting your full effort there. You know, those guys, they're amazing players, and they're very professional about what they're doing and how they approach the game and how they approach the practice. And, you know, they want to get better. You know, they want to use that ice on the ice and to be on the ice, especially, you know, with the season being so weird last year and then, you know, season starting late this time. I think they want to be ready the best they can. So they're using that ice time that they have, wherever they have it, you know. And I'm sure every player does it who is really professional and wants to get better. They're using it to improve, and that's how they take it. You know, they do drills 100 miles an hour, you know, because they want to get better. They want to get ready. So when the puck drops in NHL, you know, they are ready, and they are those guys. You know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of eyes on them. You know, they are the leaders of their team, so they need to be the leaders, you know, not just when the camera is there, but they're doing it because they just want to be the best they can be, and it's pretty amazing to watch that.
Where does Matthew's shot rank amongst the best you've faced?
It's right up there. He's very quick to get the shot off, and he can hit the spot. He's very accurate. You know, he doesn't, you know, it seems like he does have a favorite spot, but I don't think he does. You know, I think he, obviously everybody likes to shoot at certain spaces, but I think he's very smart. Like, he looks at the net, see what's open, and he uses it. You know, he's got a very, very tremendous shot. Like, I mean, you guys seen it in NHL, you guys seen it on TV. It's ridiculous and how quickly he can get it off and how hard it is and how accurate it is. You know, every shot is almost post in or post out, you know, whatever luck you got on your side.
Yeah, except when you get unlucky and you take it off the mask, which, again, like, you're not in concussion protocol, so that's good.
Oh, no, it's okay. You know, I always said, like, you know, obviously, like, I think people are making a big deal, bigger deal. I know it's a funny story, and I understand it. But he was great about it. You know, he's like, I'm sorry, man. And, you know, he apologized, and I'm like, yeah, it's totally okay. I know you tried to score. I think that sometimes goalies in this new era, I think they get really upset when somebody hits them in the head. And it's not a comfortable position to be hit in the head. But, you know, you're a goalie. If you didn't want to get hit in the head, don't be a goalie. That's why we're there. You know, we got to stop the puck. And sometimes, you know, those shots are going to happen. You know, that's not just – it's nobody does it on purpose. You know, they want to score. They want to score, and they want to take it. And, you know, I actually – you know, I'm not saying that I appreciate being hit in the head, but I appreciate him trying to score 100-mile-an-hour shot, you know, because that makes me believe that – that makes me feel like he's, you know, trying to score a goal, and he's going really hard. And when he's going hard, it makes me – appreciate that, because, you know, I'm like, appreciate his effort, you know, scored a goal, and, you know, it's going to get hit in the head, that's fine, but, you know, I think that effort that he's really trying to score and try to go bar down and try to go hard one-timers make me feel like he's, you know, he's trying to score, and that's what makes me feel good about, you know, the whole situation.
You're a goalie. You're weird. So, yeah, you don't mind getting hit in the head with pucks. I get it. JD's
Oh, we're not weird. Goalie. We're not weird. You guys are weird. We're not weird.
Spoken like a true weird guy. Peter, this was great. Thanks so much for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
No problem, man. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care, man.
There's Peter Budaj, former NHL goaltender, living in Arizona, getting to partake in these skates. Auston Matthews, Connor McDavid, Jonathan Toews is there. It's like the hockey world is congregated in Arizona, I guess,
right, places,
because, you know, there's no reporters. They can just do their own thing. Nobody's going to bother them.
I wish I could be like the guy from Half-Baked who goes, not going to do what everybody thinks I'm going to do and freak out, man. I'm freaking out. Here's why. I just have a hard time believing that a guy like Auston Matthews and a guy like Connor McDavid would play together on the same line at their own camp for an extended period of time. I don't know how much longer this is going to last, but that they would play with one another and it would be as enjoyable as it must be. And I'm not saying that neither of those guys doesn't play with incredible players. Like, you know, he gets to play, McDavid gets to play with Dreisaitl, and Matthews has gotten to play with Marner and Nylander. Like, awesome. But those are the two best players on the planet, straight up. Those are the best two players on planet Earth at what they do. The best two forwards, there's just no doubt about it. They're the most talented guys. You could argue about whether you'd want one or the other in a must-win game or Sid's place in this, but to me, those are the most two talented hockey players on planet Earth. Them playing with each other, I don't believe is nothing. I'm sorry. I know that's like a Leaf Fanny take and blah, 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 and there's always been the rumors about McDavid. I'm not saying that he's coming here or that I even believe that he definitely is, but I don't see how you could play together and how you could do this and how you could be running up the score and you could be playing in these competitive games and not remember it, not have this dalliance and not think a couple of years down the line of, man, it was really fun. And having a bond like that and not staying in contact with one another and knowing that the generation that they belong to, which is younger than us, and a NBA fan like Auston Matthews, who likes going down to the rink when Russell Westbrook is in town, that they don't look at things just maybe a little bit differently than, say, the hockey heads of the years gone by, where it was, you never join, you stay with your team forever and a day, and you never move on. Huh? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, man, if someone ever filled in on this show for me with you, that you were just like, man, what an incredible chemistry, what an incredible job. Man, it's the best at what he does. This is so fun. This is so great. You're not going to think about that any time that we're hitting a little bit of a rough patch in this show? You're not going to at least have a little thought?
Come on.
You're not
gonna,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm
Dan
saying.
Dan Joelman filling in. He couldn't do what you do. Are you kidding me? You're out of control.
You could afford Dan Joelman. Like, Dan Joelman would ever be able to. This guy, I'm sure the flights to Kentucky that he's like, and the setup and the rigmarole that he's going through, that's coming cheap. He's like, whatever you got in your pocket, I'll just take that. It's fine. Do you see what I'm saying with this? Like, am I overreacting to this? Because I know that a part of it is,
I mean,
my
it
hope.
Depends on what you're saying explicitly, right? Because here's the thing. This is not the first time that they've done this, and this maybe started when they...
Yeah.
I mean, before Auston Matthews played an NHL game, he made his Air Canada Centre at the time debut playing for Team North America at that World Cup of Hockey in one of the most fun... I mean, that was the funnest part about that very forgettable tournament.
Obviously.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. No doubt. Auston Matthews falling down, getting back up, making the play, him and McDavid, obviously. No, here's what I'm saying explicitly, that... If we're doing is this anything, I'm saying this is something, and that I don't think Auston Matthews would ever go to Edmonton.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing. That's the thing that if we have listeners in Edmonton, they're going to get very upset at. Because, yeah, we're implying that...
They're mad all the time anyways. They're just mad about, even when you mention those two guys in the same breath, it's like, right. Well, one guy does this. They're like, cry, baby, cry. Yeah, no, that's Edmonton. McDavid's that's what
the
they
best.
Do.
Player
I get
in the world.
It. I like Edmonton.
Nobody's fighting anybody on that. Like, that's indisputable.
No. What I'm just saying is that hard to believe that those two guys playing together, maintaining a relationship, wanting to work out together, is just and wanting to play on the same team, not saying, hey, let's split up. You get a team, I get a team. We'll make this thing, we'll battle against each other, that they specifically want to play with one another, and that they have some pretty incredible skill sets when it comes to mixing the two together, I would say. If you're going to put the world's best setup man with the world's best finisher, that could be a thing that might work out. And all I'm saying is that at some point in their lives, they might look at it and say, that was pretty fun. Why don't we do that for real? Why don't we run that for real?
It seems so pie in the sky now because obviously cap space is impossible and the contract is long. And it's like, how would you
do it? Who knows if it's even in Toronto? I'm not saying that one guy would necessarily.
Arizona.
Maybe it is in Arizona. Maybe they just say, like, Arizona hockey, this is where we care about it. Who knows? They don't want to talk to the media about any of this. So clearly, the attention is not what's driving.
That was the part of this that intrigues me to no end, because it's like they're so tight-lipped, and I know they did like get some comments to Elliot Friedman, but like no video, no nothing, nobody's tweeting about it, nobody's taking pictures, no Instagram.
Fun.
Like, what are we doing here? This is a great opportunity. Like I said, hockey's so far off of our radar from a sports landscape. We feel like we're force-feeding it. We're talking about Peter Budaj, about his Arizona scrimmage. Like, you have a chance here to continue, and we are talking about two of the most famous hockey players in the world, so maybe they don't necessarily feel it, but they should, because it would do a service to their sport as a whole, and the trickle-down effect is real.
They don't care about that stuff. And they
should. But they should.
They shouldn't have. No, they shouldn't.
Yes, they
Why
should.
Should they
yes,
care?
They, should.
They just have to go out there and play hockey and be awesome at it. They don't need to care about the long-term health of the game. You know who needs to care about that? The owners who are trying to milk them right now, or pinch them, sorry, for every penny to maybe get back on the ice in late January. That's who should care about the growth of the game. Those are the people that should be concerned about how they market it and how they sell it to those players, all that different stuff. Auston Matthews doesn't need any more marketing, dude. Neither does Connor McDavid. They're two of the most famous guys in all of Canada. So they're good. They're fine. It's all gravy for them. What I find interesting is that it's so tight-lipped and no photos and no anything, because they don't want us doing this. It's like, well, why don't you want us doing that? If there's no threat, if there's never any possibility that the two of you would ever hook up on the same hockey team, then what does it matter? Make fun of it. Tease it, right? No, instead it's all secrets, camp secrets, no videos leaking. You know why? You know why there's no videos? Because they're talking about Toronto. They're doing the dream team thing. They're doing the
Miami. Well, they're doing the Kyrie and KD in the halls at the All-Star game. Like, you don't think we'd be able to read some lips occasionally if we had some unedited video of those two dudes? Or somebody's not coming up with, like, their own audio tracks that we can throw over top? Oh, I like it.
Exactly. That's why. No videos, no cell phones, no nothing. Nothing comes into the compound. Because we can't have anyone pick up on a hyperbolic mic that, hey, so how do we make this happen, dude?
Okay. I don't know. We have to change the CBA in a way. All right. Do you know any lawyers? How do we do that?
Do you think that Marner and Plus and throw in a couple of other things that gets it
can
done?
Can you, like, frame them for murder or something? Yeah. Like, is there something?
No. I'm saying who knows? You make a little trade. Make a little tradey poo. Who knows? It's fine. Expedite the process. We don't want to be old. Let's do this while we're young. Let's do this while we're in our prime. We're obviously having fun, but this is what happens. This is what obviously sports fans do, and it's hilarious to me that hockey players are angry about that. Like, you know,
that's what I mean, though.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing.
It's so common with the NBA where you go, like, think about all the Giannis talks, right? Where's Giannis going to go? Is it Heat? Is it the Raptors? Is it the Golden State? Oh, LeBron is going to hold out for Giannis. We do this with hockey, and those guys are shrinking violets at the idea that this would ever happen. They don't want to even – like, of course they're not going to do media rounds to talk about it. I'm just saying that this is fun. This is a fun hockey conversation. That those two guys, the two best players on the planet with incredibly suitable skill sets, might want to play together because they hang out with one another, that could actually be something down the line. And I'm saying, hey, I think it is. I don't think that it's a likely that they're going to play together, but I don't think that this is a nothing indicator. I'm sorry. And if I was an Edmonton Oilers fan, I would look at that and just chew my fingernails a little and go like, why don't you go play with someone older? Like, why don't you go play with Sid? Isn't it fine to play with Sid?
If I was an Oilers fan, I would have been nervous the second they drafted him, obviously. And he didn't react with the most glee ever. And he signed, he took less, and yada, 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 and he'll be there for his prime. But yeah. Of course you're nervous about this possibility. You should be nervous. He's from here.
Yeah. This is his hometown. Like a threat from you. That sounded like a threat. You're like, you should be nervous.
Yeah. Hey. Well, they should.
Yeah. Ooh, a little spooked. A little chilled on my spine.
Yeah. I only know one Edmonton Oilers fan, so yeah, he should be nervous. Billy Duke, okay. You should be nervous. Very nervous.
You live in Toronto and you're an Oilers fan? That's pathetic.
Well, he's from there.
I don't care.
All right.